Good morning once again. Time for the young people to go down the hall if they choose to do so. John chapter 15 for this morning. It's good to see everybody. Do y'all know that I'm like thanking the Lord for each one of y'all every Sunday morning when you come walking in here? I do. I thank the Lord that you're here, and I thank the Lord we're here together and worshiping the Lord. And especially today, I'm most grateful that y'all are so patient with your preacher and full of grace and let him make all the mistakes he can make. No matter what it is, some of y'all notice mistakes on the bulletins from time to time. So thank you for that, and I love you for it, and the Lord loves you, and we just keep on keeping on, won't we? Last week we talked about, we started talking about disciple making. We talked about the parable that Jesus taught about the different soils and how there's only one of those soils that was good for producing fruit, for seed to fall on, and it would grow and produce fruit. We also talked about the thorny soil, remember, so that we were careful not to dismiss ourselves from the other three types of soil, that sometimes we can get caught up in the thorny soil of busyness or distraction or doubt or whatever it is that would cause us to get away from what the Lord is doing as far as disciple making, right? Because believe it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, as believers saved by the blood of Christ with the Spirit of God living in us, and we are keeping in step with Him as we are studying in our Sunday morning Bible study. A little commercial there for y'all, those of you that don't come to Sunday morning. If you want to come and study with us, we have a great time of discussion. But we have a purpose. Listen, we're not just saved to be sitting around waiting to go be with God, right? We're to be making disciples. We're to be going about the Lord's business. I think we all understand that mostly. We do. And I think most of us have some kind of a desire in our heart to go and do those things. Make disciples, teach people about the Lord, witness, and help people get closer and closer to a point where they can receive the truth in their own life and be saved the same way we are, and we can all follow Jesus together. That's the goal. That's what I believe is true for at least everybody in this room, right? I don't know about the rest of the world or any other church, but that's what I know about y'all. However, we need to make sure that we have an understanding of what it means to be a disciple maker. And to be a disciple goes hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. It's like Reese's peanut butter cup. You can't have chocolate and peanut butter separate. You got to have them at the same time if you're going to have Reese's peanut butter cup, right? Disciples make disciples. That's the only way a disciple is made, from another disciple. A disciple of Christ, I'm talking about, right? We all understand that. So we're going to look at what Jesus teaches about what it means to be a disciple so that disciples can be made. How many of y'all realize that you and I, we're actually not the ones who make the disciples? Hello? I'm going to give you one guess. Who makes disciples? Church answer, y'all. God does. God makes disciples. He just uses me and you, the believers, the disciples, to go make other disciples. Because we surrender to Him, and we are used by Him. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to do this a little different than I normally do, because there's a little bit of scripture I want to get through, and I realize that it's Sunday and y'all got lunch appointments. So I want to say what the Lord wants me to say, and I want to get the point made, and I want God to be glorified, and I want our bellies to get full eventually so that we can have our Sunday afternoon nap, right? So we're not going to rush through it, but we're going to do what we can. But I'm going to break this down verse by verse, or a couple verses at a time. That's all I'm going to do. Because to be genuine disciple makers, we all have to have these things in common. Number one, you have to be genuinely committed to Christ as Lord and Savior. That's a given. That's obvious. I hope it's obvious. You have to be saved to be a disciple maker. All right? Then the second thing we all have in common is that not only are we saved, but we have this really close relationship with Jesus, with our Savior, and the Word of God. And inevitably and ultimately, the Spirit of God, right? There's this relationship that happens, this ongoing interaction with our Savior, with the Spirit of God, with our Father, through the Word of God, every single day, every moment of the day, because we are saved by the blood of Christ, and because we've accepted Him as Lord and Savior, we have surrendered ourselves to Him fully. Those are the two things that are in place that disciple makers have in common. I mean, successful disciple makers. Here's the third thing, and we're going to focus on this morning. The third thing is disciple makers, genuine disciple makers, successful disciple makers, they have a powerful prayer life. Not just a prayer life, y'all, a powerful prayer life. You understand what I'm saying? That when we communicate with our Lord, things happen. If we're genuine, successful disciple makers in the way that Jesus describes in chapter 15 of the Gospel of John. All right, so let's check it out. First, let's look and start off in verses 1 and 2 of John chapter 15. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. All right, I love it. I love studying Jesus' teaching. Because he's cut and dry. He's like, here it is. Take it or leave it. This is what it is. You can't be confused if you're looking for the truth that's right there. And here's the truth. Before, he was talking about different types of soil, remember, last week. Now he's talking about a vine, and he's talking about branches on the vine, and he's talking about the vine dresser, y'all. And he's talking about fruit. All right? So we understand that God, our Lord, the Creator God, He's the doer here. And the doing gets done through the vine. Right? And then the doing gets done through the branches that are connected to the vine. Make sense? I was looking out. You ever notice when you cut the grass, you just want to stand there and just stare at it for a while? Because it looks real nice. And you know in like a day and a half it's going to be twice as tall as it was, and you're just like, me just don't feel like ever cutting grass again. That's me. Either way, I'm reading over this, and I'm looking. We got trees in our front yard, you know, and branches and stuff, and there's flowers coming on them, and it looks nice. And you're looking at these flowers, right? And you're saying to yourself, man, those are nice. My wife and her mom likes to look at all the flowers on all the trees, and I think it's great. I think they look nice. But those flowers don't exist without the tree. Without the roots, without the soil, without what the Lord has created, y'all. You understand what I'm saying? So that's where we're going. So we know that God is the vine dresser, and we know that Jesus is the vine. And we know that we are the branches, and we know the goal is that there be fruit. All right, setting the stage. Moving on. He says this as a reassurance to the guys that he's teaching, the people that he's talking to. He says in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. In other words, this is not necessarily a salvation issue for the ones who are already mine. All right, this is a what we do now issue that I'm teaching you. All right, if you're saved, you're saved by the word of God. There's nothing for you to do to be saved. You're saved by the truth. Verse 4 says, abide in me if you're saved. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit. Hello? The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. And then finally in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I've been in plenty of college classes where the professor's going so fast, I can't take note. I can't keep up. I'm like, he said, what'd you just say? And I miss because I'm writing, and I look up, and he's already said some other things I want to write down, and I can't. That's why I love studying on YouTube now with some of these professors, because I can rewind. And I'm like, okay, he said that. And then I don't even have to take notes. But here's Jesus. He's saying a lot right here to these guys. He's putting some truth down that is unavoidable, y'all. For them, for all the ones that are hearing it, and for you and me. He's saying who he is, he's saying who we are, and he's saying what the purpose is. He's saying what can be done and what can't be done. What won't be done. Make sense? I like it that way, y'all. He's the vine. He's the one. All right? There's a word that's used in this New American Standard that I've been reading out of. He says, abide in me. And I think maybe, I think some other translations say, remain in me. Use the word remain in me. You can take either one of them words and you can understand them to mean that Jesus is saying, those of you who are saved, those of you who are mine by faith in my sacrifice on the cross, you if you remain in me, if you stay close to me, if you live in me, if you don't stray from me, then there will be fruit. All right? And we sit around, we all sit around, it's like, how can I make disciples? How do I make disciples? I got to go into the world and make disciples. I got to get people saved. I got to, whatever it is, however we say it, our desire is to go and do what Jesus commanded us to do. And here Jesus is telling us how to do it. And I think sometimes because our heart's desire is so strong, we forget to listen to how he tells us how to do it, and we just run off and try to do it. And we're not the doers, y'all. Most of the way that we abide in him, most of the way that we remain in him or stay close to him is through prayer and Bible study. Amen. Together and individually. Right? If we're not doing that, then we already are going to fail. He says, abide in me and I will abide in you. It's a relationship. Because the branch cannot bear fruit. There's two branches on one of them trees in my front yard that have no flowers on them. And the only reason they haven't been cut down by me is because they're too high and I don't have nothing that can reach them. So I'm just waiting for them to just fall off. They're not producing anything. They're dead. They're still connected to the tree, but they're not. They're dead. They're not connected. They look like they're connected. Does that make sense? They're not producing any fruit because they're not really connected to what's bringing life to the branch. You know, there's a lot of people that go to church every Sunday. Every single Sunday they go to church. They even read their Bibles. And they even talk to God. But for some reason, there's no fruit being produced. All right? And it's not my job to say who is who and what's what and whenever. I'm just saying there are people who believe, who love Jesus, but there's no fruit there. And the reason I'm pointing that out is because for me personally, when I see that in a person's life, or I believe I see that in a person's life, it makes me say, I wonder if people see fruit in my life when they look at me. What's more important is I wonder if God were to tell me what he sees, would he see fruit? If Jesus were to show up, would I be a fig tree with no fruit on it? Hello? And if we're not concerned about that, then we got some issues spiritually. If I'm not concerned about that in my life, I'm not talking about my preaching ministry. I'm not talking about my calling as a minister. I'm talking about my commitment to the Lord and what Jesus has done for this sinner and my response to that. And my response to, do I love Jesus or not? And do I love people or not? Right, that's where the fruit comes. If we really love God and we really love people, then there will be fruit because there's something in us that draws us near to Jesus. We hunger it, we crave it, we pursue it. We can't get enough of it. We can't get away from it. People try to pull us away from it, and we run from them. Hello. And way too many people in the church, way too many people are running to the world. And there's no fruit. He's telling us, if you want to be those who are producing fruit, then you abide in me. You remain in me. Right? He says he bears much fruit. Those are the ones who bear much fruit. Because apart from Jesus, we can't do anything. We might as well just shut it down and go do something else. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying. I I like the word much fruit. Not just a little bit, much. Let's look at verse 6 and 7. Let's break through this a little bit. If anyone does not abide in me, this is the to abide or not to abide. That is the question, right? He says, if anyone does not abide in me, look, y'all, pay attention. He is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. When you read stuff like that from the words of our Savior, if you don't sit back and just let that soak in, you're missing it. Right? Because right there, Jesus is telling us what we've been saved from. He's telling us what when he's going to die, because he's about to be arrested and go die on the cross right after he's saying this to these guys. And for us who are living on this side of the cross, if we don't sit back and say, that's what Jesus died to help me escape from. Right? He's saying that if we don't hear this, then our heart's desire, our desire for life, our desire for being fruitful branches is diminished. Why do I care about making fruit? Why do I care about producing fruit? Why do I care about being a part of the vine? Because if I don't, I'm doomed to hell. According to Jesus' words. I'm just being real with y'all this morning. And you know, Jesus also taught in different places that there will be some who call on my name and I'll say, get away from me. I never knew who you were. You don't have a relationship with me. I don't know you. Get away. And that's after it's too late and it's already said and done. Because they didn't abide in him. They weren't with him. They didn't go to him. They didn't pursue him. All right, let's get into the good news. Verse 7. If you abide in me, that's if you don't abide. Now if you abide in me and my words abide in you, here it is, y'all. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Don't that get you excited? Hello? Don't that get you excited? I mean, everyone in this room I know has said a prayer at some point in your life. And I'm just going to assume that when you said that prayer, you didn't just say it and hope God didn't answer it. Right? We don't say prayers for nothing. Right? We hope God would answer. We hope God would hear. We hope God would get involved. He says, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. One of the most mistaught and misunderstood and misapplied pieces of scripture in almost all of the Bible, aside from gospel stuff, like salvation stuff. He's telling us how to make disciples. He's telling us how he is going to make disciples. He's telling us how to participate in what he is doing. And he's also telling us what our prayer life should look like as disciple makers. He's telling us what a powerful disciple maker prayer life looks like. You want to have powerful prayers? You pray about the things that God is doing. You pray about the disciples that God wants to make and how you're part of it. You talk to God about the mission, the business at hand. I learned right away, right after I got saved, one of the first things I learned is if I go about the Lord's business, he'll always be about my business. And I'm sad to say and have to confess that I've struggled over the years to trust in that. I know it. But life happens, y'all. Life happens. And suddenly my prayer life, because of my worries and anxieties, gets more focused on my business and less about the Lord's business. Not all the time, but it comes in seasons, doesn't it? And suddenly the Spirit of God has to say, I thought we were making disciples here today. And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. But what about, no, we're making disciples here. But what about, no, we're making disciples here. Sometimes he has to get on me like that. Sometimes he has to just get serious. Like, right here, we're doing this. Remember, I told y'all about Yabbits, right? Some of y'all haven't heard this, but I used to teach my son about Yabbits because he was a master at throwing out Yabbits. Right? Yabbit means, I agree with you, but I want something else. You say, yeah, but, all the time. That's a yabbit. And I told my son when he was growing up, there's no yabbits here. You can agree with me all you want and you can fall in line, or you can disagree and not fall in line, but there's consequences, right? We don't yab at the Lord. When he says go and make disciples, just go do it. It's not like he doesn't know what's coming up in your life. He doesn't know. It's not like he doesn't know what's happened to you and what's going on in the world. You think God didn't know about COVID? You think God didn't know about all the stuff that goes on around the world that wicked people are doing? You think God didn't know about Judas? You think God didn't know about the Egyptians? You think God didn't know about Adam and Eve and their nakedness? God's aware, y'all. We're the ones that aren't aware. Hello? Let's just make disciples, y'all. Let's just get involved with God making disciples so that when we go to God, right, we have a prayer list here at the church. We all have it. We have our personal list. We have the prayer list we go through every Sunday morning. And we should lift all that stuff up to the Lord. Say, Lord, here it is. Here's our concerns. Here's our worries. Here's what's going on. We know that you are God and you are involved. So help us make disciples while you deal with this. And if we need to be involved in dealing with that, then let us know. Meanwhile, let's go love some people. Because that's how you love God. Hello? I'm telling y'all stuff you already know, aren't I? I am. And I'm looking in the mirror saying, well, then how come you don't do it that way? Sometimes I wish there was just a big mirror right here on the stage, right? So I didn't feel like I was hammering on y'all. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard because we have to battle with self, and it's hard because we have an enemy that wants to lie to us and pull us away from what the Lord is doing in your life. So, our prayers have to be powerful. So when we go to the Lord, our prayers, if we're living in him, if we're abiding in him, if we're in him and he's in us, then our prayers are going to be all about his will, all about his doings of disciple making and fruit bearing. So why wouldn't he give us what we ask for? Hello? I kind of wonder how come myself and every other believer in the world, how come we don't put our foundation on that statement right there? We're saved by faith. We're saved by what Jesus did on the cross and what we believe about that. But that faith don't stop there, does it? We're going to trust God or we're not, y'all. Verse 8, let's go on. God, I can talk about Jesus all day. Look at this. Look at this right here. Verse 8. If you don't circle verse 8, underline it, highlight it, whatever you do. It says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples, y'all. It's not wrong to wear t-shirts to say I love Jesus on it, but every time I see it, I think to myself, okay, well, I wonder if their bumper sticker's true. I hope it is. It's not wrong to wear t-shirts and have bumper stickers and put Facebook posts up all day long about how you love Jesus but the question is, are you really doing it? Do you really love him? Are you really living in Jesus? Are you really in Christ? Are you really a disciple maker? Here's how you know. You're bearing much fruit. What's the fruit? Other disciples are being made because of your witness, because of your relationship with them, because you've loved them so much they just can't avoid it anymore. That God has done so many great things through you in their life that they have to surrender to it. It's like, wow. I need this. And they start to develop a hunger for God and for the things that come from God. And then next thing you know, they're looking in the Word of God. They're talking to other believers. They're like, I need to have whatever this dude over here has or whatever this family has or what this lady over here. I need to have it. Everything we're talking about is for the glory of God, y'all. If it's not for God's glory, then you might as well walk away from it. If we fill up the church with folks that are getting saved, praise the Lord, to God be the glory. And if there's anything outside of that, we're in trouble. We're either making disciples or we're just creating a crowd of people. That's it. All right. Verse 8 is the big idea for this morning. Verse 9, check this out. Let's go on. Verse 9 through 11, we're speeding up a little bit. Just as the Father has loved me, this is what Jesus is saying to the people. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. You can't be in Christ without abiding in God's love. You can't do it. Because God is love, right? And you're living in that. It's what drives you. It's what motivates you. It's what gets you up in the morning. It's what makes you lay down at night knowing that if Jesus comes back or if you find yourself in the presence of God, it'll all be well with your soul. Or if I get up in the morning and it's time to make some more disciples, it'll still be well with my soul. Y'all been through some hard times in life, haven't you? Every one of you. And it's hard. I mean, when I'm talking about devastating stuff, I'm not talking about they ran out of barbecue at the barbecue joint. I mean, that's kind of traumatic, but it's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when loved ones pass away. I'm talking about when jobs get lost. I'm talking about when hard times come for whatever the reasons. It is so hard to stay focused on being a disciple maker, isn't it? But let me tell you this, as a preacher doing as many funerals as I've been a part of and being with families as they've gone through hard times like that or being with families as they're going through divorces or children problems with their teenagers, all this stuff the preachers get involved in, they're invited into. And we can't fix none of that. All we can do is go in and love and walk with and point to Jesus. You see, and if we're not in love, if we're not love in motion, we're not going to make disciples, and there's not going to be any fruit because of your witness. Then we got to go back a few verses, talk about the fire again. It's not because God doesn't love you, it's because you're not engaged, you're not in. Here's a little bit of fruit. Here's some evidence of fruit right here. Verse 10, if you keep my commands, you will abide in my love. That's how you abide in his love. That's how you live in his love. If you keep my command, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what I command, right? Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Aren't we trying to be like Jesus? I know some people struggle with that. They're like, well, I'm not Jesus. I'm not perfect. There's no reason to try. Hello? There's nothing God would tell us to do that's impossible. He's given us everything we have needed to be successful. And he's like, if you're going to abide in my love, which you need to do, then you keep my commands. And that's when we all get disgusted. We're like, oh, man, I can't keep all it, because we all know we're sinners. It means we've already failed. Except that we've been forgiven, y'all. Remember, he's talking to believers. He's talking to those who have been saved, those who are his already. Even he hadn't even gone to the cross. He's saying, look, you guys have accepted my word. You're following me. Remember when Peter was like, hey, he's like, who do you say that I am? And Peter's like, well, you're the Christ. First time Peter ever said anything without having to repent immediately. Even though he didn't even know what he was saying. He was like, well, you're the Christ, I guess, you know. These things I have spoken to you so that my look, here it is, y'all. If everybody's looking for, okay, what's in it for me, right? What's in it for me? That's our nature. Here it is. Here's what's in it for you. I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be made full. I wish and I pray and I ask the Lord to make that a reality in all of our lives most of the time. God wants it all the time, but we know we struggle. We can't stay there, you know. The Spirit of God has to keep pulling us back in. But let me tell y'all something. I was talking to somebody just the other day about my son's funeral and some things like that, and it made me go back to realizing, as hard as that was, I cannot deny there was joy there. I can't explain it aside from God and his presence in my life. But there was joy. What my joy? I wasn't happy about nothing. But that was the presence of God in my life. That was God saying, I'm here. I'm here. I'm still here. And in the moment, I couldn't have told you this, but looking back now, out of all of the people, a lot of people came to his funeral. A lot of people came to his funeral. And even in the time of the visitation, I found myself talking to some of his college friends about God because they were broke down. And it's not because I'm some great Christian, some great believer. That's not at all. I'm broke down myself. Because God put words in my mouth because he loves. And those words were the words that I needed. And the only words I had to share with somebody else who needed the same thing. Did any of those people get saved? I don't know. I don't even know if they were already saved. That's God's business. And reflecting on that was a reminder to me that you are to be about the Lord's business always. No matter what. And it's hard, isn't it? Because sometimes you just want to clock out. Because it's hard to love people, isn't it? Hello, you can say amen to that one. It's hard to love people sometimes. Because they're not loving you. And you just want to clock out and sit at home and watch reruns of some old TV show or something. Take a break. That's all you want to do sometimes. And God's like, no, I don't think so. We're supposed to be making fruit here. All right. There's joy. And not only just joy, but your joy will be made full, y'all. You'll know when the joy is full. You'll know it. It's overwhelming. It makes you show up on Sunday morning just to worship the Lord. It makes you look in your Bible every night. It makes you stand out in the front yard and praise the Lord, tall grass or not. That's joy. It makes you stay faithful and abide in him even when your whole world has fallen apart. Because people are watching. And they don't want to know that our life is perfect. Us believers, us disciple makers, all they're really looking for is the truth. And the truth is we're the same as everybody else. And life happens to us just the same as everybody else. Bad things continue to happen even though we're saved, even though we have the Lord. But when everything outside is falling apart, it's all still together here because God lives here. And there's people in this world that need that. And they're not going to find it if they don't see it in the believers, in the disciple makers. If God doesn't is not allowed to use us. All right, verse 12. We're going to speed through, skip to verse 16, because verse 12, he starts talking about how disciples are supposed to love each other. Like we have to be told. Well, yeah, we have to be told, don't we? I mean, if we can't get... It's almost like Jesus says, you had one job, y'all. Just love each other. That's all I want you to do. And we fail, don't we? But verse 16 pops out, right? He's like, look, you need to love each other. You need to love each other the way I love you. And verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. And that your fruit would remain. So that whatever you ask, oh my gosh, here it is again. Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. God picked you. Jesus died for you. You are chosen by God to be a fruit bearer. And way too many times, myself and everybody else, we sit back and say, well, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if God wants me. I've done it. I still do it. Y'all think that I'm a good musician? Tell the truth. He's okay. I'm doing this because that's what needs to be done until the Lord does something different. Right? And that's okay. I prefer, if it was totally up to me, I prefer to just preach and love y'all. Because I know that's what I'm called to do. But God is saying, you'll do whatever I put in front of you to do so you can make disciples. And I'm saying, yes, sir. We'll do it. Right? And we just do the best we can. And we let the Lord have his way. Because he appointed me. And because God appointed you, he gets to tell you what to do. And how to do it. And where to do it. And when to do it. And when not to do it. And he wants you, he didn't just appoint you to go and just be on the team. You're going to go and you're going to bear fruit. And not only are you going to bear fruit, it's fruit that will remain. Remember we were talking about the seeds last week and the thorns and the rocky places and how sometimes the roots grow a little bit, but they don't never get deep and they get burnt up or picked off or whatever happens, they don't last. They don't last because there's nothing rooted. There's nothing rooted in the ground. There's no foundation. They don't last at all. How many times have people come to church and said, I want Jesus in my life, and we celebrate and we lead them into salvation and we baptize them, and then who knows where they are? And I'm not saying that's our fault. What I am saying is, Jesus is telling us that we're not just to be fruit bearers. We're to be fruit bearers that create fruit that remains, that are solid, people that are solid. I'm talking about, here's how you know the difference, right? I'm talking about when you witness to somebody, you and your family, you're witnessing to people and you're making disciples the way the Lord lays it out, and people get saved. Not only do they get saved, but then after time they start witnessing and then other people get saved. They become disciple makers. When your disciples that you've created or you've led to Jesus start making disciples, that's fruit that remains. And that's when God starts multiplying. Right? Now, I can see it. I can see it. I can see it on my face. I can see it in your face. It's like, I got work to do. And it's okay. We always have work to do. My question to you is, do we know who's doing the work? And are we willing to go home and ask the Lord to help us be committed to his work, not ours? So here we are. Notice he keeps saying much fruit. Much. Not just a little bit. Not just a little bit. Much fruit. I told you last week, we try to grow stuff at our house and we can't do it because there's not enough sun. So we're trying the front yard, grow a couple tomato plants, whatever. Well, every time we grow anything, if there's anything comes on, it's like one pepper or one tomato or something like that on the plant. And we know how to grow stuff. We've grown in other parts of the world and it's fine, but it's just that it's not the right situation. God is not looking for you to make one disciple and then say, okay, I've done my part, I'm out. If we can get our mind wrapped around the fact that God wants us to be fruitful and have much fruit, all right, then our prayers will start addressing that. Our prayers will start being in line with that, right? Because it wasn't too long ago, I gave y'all a little index card in your bulletin, and I asked y'all to just make a list of people that you know aren't saved in your life, and ask the Lord to help you witness to them and bless them and love them. And I hope y'all did that, and I hope you keep it in your Bible, and I hope you keep praying about it, and I hope the Lord's leading you in that, because that's what we're talking about here. But it's more than that. It's every person you see on the planet. It's the mission field. That's the fruit that needs to be harvested. So disciple makers have these things in common. We're all saved by the blood of Christ. We've all accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. We've all been baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. We've accepted the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we're keeping in step with the Holy Spirit as we walk in Christ every day. We're all striving to abide in him as he abides in us, and we have this genuine relationship with our Savior. And finally, we all have powerful prayer lives. We all have powerful prayer lives because the Bible that we just read, the scripture that we just read, the words that Jesus taught, that if you ask whatever in my name, I'll give it to you, is totally linked to you being in line with God's will, for you being part of his kingdom, for you being a disciple maker, for you being on mission, for me and you being on connected to the will of God. If we're about his business, he will always be about our business. What on earth do we have to worry about? It's hard for me to stand in this pulpit and say that to y'all. Right? Because it's hard, isn't it? What is it? What on earth is there to worry about? For the believers. For the disciple makers. If we have all this authority and all this power and everything that's in us, is we have everything we need to be fruitful. We have everything that we need to bear much fruit for the Lord and his kingdom so that he would get the glory and we would be overfilled with joy. Ready, go. Right? It's almost like, what are we waiting for, right? Here's how you do it. I'm going to close with this. If you're going to think about your prayer life, I'm not questioning anybody's prayer life or anything like that. I'm just looking at what Jesus taught, and I'm saying to myself, I'm saying, okay, does my prayer life fall in line with the way Jesus taught here? Am I praying about the concerns in my own life and the life of others in the church, and that's all I'm praying about? Or am I praying for the Lord to help us be who he's called us to be, who he's assigned us to be? So first, we pray for ourselves. Believe it or not, some people think it's selfish to pray for yourself. No. If you're praying in God's will, if you're praying as a disciple maker, then it's not selfish, it's necessary. Right? Lord, help me not be distracted from your work. Help me deal with the things that I need to deal with so I can be about your business. Help me trust that you're about my business. Help me be a genuine disciple so that I can make disciples. It's just some thoughts. You and the Lord can work out the best way for you to pray for yourself as a disciple maker. The next thing you do is you pray for others. Look around the room. We're all working for the same kingdom, for the same God, with the same Savior and the same Spirit. Why would I not want you to make disciples? Why would I not want you to be about the Lord's business? Why would I not want you to be filled with that joy? Because God is being glorified in your life as a witness for the kingdom of God. So yeah. And when we look at our prayer list, the people that are missing because they've been sick or whatever the case is, we're praying that, Lord, however you need to be involved to solve their issues and their problems and their sickness so that they can continue to be disciple makers, that's what I want you to do. Right? There are people that are away from God because they have spiritual issues. And the prayer is, God, touch their hearts so they can return to your business and be filled with your joy. Whatever it takes, whatever they need, whatever we can do to help them, show us your way, because we need to be about your business. And then when the time comes and the opportunities present themselves, believers, fellow believers, or lost folks, when the opportunity presents itself to pray with folks, you should do it. There's nothing more powerful than to take somebody into the presence of God, whether they believe or not. And if sometimes people don't want you to pray with them. Most of the time, people who aren't believers, they're like, I'm okay, thanks anyway. Well, you're going to pray for them anyway, aren't you? you don't have to hold their hand and close their eyes for you to talk to God about them, right? You can say, Lord, wherever they are, whatever they need, that you would touch them and you would be with them and you would show them who you really are. Make yourself undeniable. And if you're going to say a prayer like that for somebody else, probably ought to say it for yourself too. See, this is what disciple makers do. This is how disciple makers pray. Because we know that when we pray for the will of God, when we pray for disciples to be made, when we pray for His will to be done and Him to be glorified, and that we would experience the joy from that, then Jesus said twice, if we pray in Jesus' name, He will give us what we ask. I'm going to tell y'all something else. You can't lose that way. How would you like it? Imagine if every time you went before the Lord, God was overwhelmed with joy because of your prayer, and He's like, done. Let's do it. Right? This is how you do it. I'm not saying don't be concerned about the things that you're concerned about or the things that you pray about all the time. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying connect them to the business of making disciples somehow. Because that's who we are. That's what Jesus died for. Jesus died for you and I to be saved. You're saved because some disciple made disciples. Some disciple somewhere said, this person needs to know about Jesus. And they loved you enough to tell you about Jesus somehow, or show you about the Lord, or walked in Christ in front of you to where you had to have it. For me personally, the preachers just exposed me as a sinner. That's what it took. He's like, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. In my own house, I was like, really? You're going to come into my house? And then he laid the gospel down, and I was like, oh, you're right. You know, I love you and the Lord loves you. And I want God to be not only pleased with each one of you, but I want you to experience the power of what we just read in your life. I want you to experience what God is doing in the world for the lost. I'm just saying, I've experienced on occasion, from time to time, I've experienced the joy that Jesus was describing just because I was just so involved in different things that the church was doing and that God was doing. I didn't have time to worry about anything else. Somehow all those things got taken care of. All of them. Every one of them. I got worries today. Why are you rolling your eyes? My wife's over there like, yeah, he does. I do got worries today. But I'd rather be about the Lord's business. I'd rather be tired and mentally fatigued because I'm about the Lord's business. And I pray that we all get there. And I pray that we all can praise God and give Him the glory. I pray that He would have His way in our hearts and in our lives. And I pray that people would get saved because of it. I love you and the Lord loves you. Let's stand together and we're going to sing. If you're not saved, I don't know what you're waiting on. Now's the day.